Thank you for joining us on our podcast again today, Conversations with Industry Icons. And today we have with us Mark Larkin, who is the Foundation President for the Boca Raton Regional Hospital Foundation. Mark, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Eddie. It's a real pleasure to speak with you and to be a part of the podcast.
Well, Mark has been someone that I have known, I really don't know how long, maybe 15 years, 10, 15 years, maybe even 20, you know, time gets away from us. But he's always been one of those individuals that respected his professionalism. In addition to his incredible skills, he is a really good man and has a really outstanding family. And so, Mark, we really appreciate you taking time to be with us. And I'm going to ask you two questions, and I just want to hear you talk about your experience. Number one, what lessons have you learned over your career that's really, really made a difference?
Yeah, I think that's that's something that really gives you pause to think, because you know there's so many things. I've been involved in philanthropy now for 35 years, in healthcare philanthropy for more than 20 years. And I think that, for me, I started my career in annual giving with a number of different smaller not-for-profits and spent a big chunk of my career with the United Way. And what I really realized was that you can put the same amount of time and effort into annual giving or major giving and have a much different outcome on how much money is raised for your organization. The numbers to me don't matter. I don't want to sit here and define what a major gift is, because that's really up to the individual charity and what they're capable of doing. And securing, you know, a food shelf may not be able to generate the same level of major giving as a hospital or a higher education institution. But you can get much greater levels of giving if you just change your focus a bit and really take the discipline to sit across the table from prospective donors, share your mission and story, and talk about really big dreams you have as an organization with them, understanding what their area of interest is. And it takes just as much time as it does to see several hundred people and ask them all for a big gift as it does to sit across somebody who could make a single gift equal to all those hundreds of people that you're talking to. So I think that's, to me, was a major shift in my career and a focus point for me 20 years ago.
You know, Mark, you raise really good points. One question I have is, what kind of strategy do you have in replacing those major gift donors? Because attrition does take place. Either they lose interest, or maybe they feel like they've given enough to your organization, or they pass away. So what activities do you go through to replenish that major gift list?
Well, in our case, I really come back to, you know, and this is different depending upon the not-for-profit. In our case, we are a hospital organization. We're serving our community. Philanthropy is really making a difference in the amount of services we can provide and in taking us from being a really good healthcare organization to a truly outstanding organization. And so we focus on those individuals who have utilized our services. And we talk to them about, I don't know, again, under the privacy laws, I don't know why they're in or who they're, what's going on with them medically, but I do know that they've used our services. And so for us, we do, on our prospective donor base, we look for those who hold wealth and those who have used our services. And the third component we look for is those who have demonstrated charitable intent. They've given to other causes. If we've got those three components, they rise to the very top of our list, and we begin the relationship with them and speaking with them. If they don't have one of those three criteria, they may still stay on our list, but they're not our most immediate people that we're talking to.
Yeah, excellent points, Mark. You know, the last question I want to ask, and I may keep a little bit longer than I promised, but what has been the one mistake that would you consider a big mistake in your career, and what did you learn from it?
Yeah, I think that, you know, many, and this happens a lot, I see, with board members and other volunteers who are new to the fundraising game, you know, that the fundraising activities that we do and the work that we do. You know, we most people think in terms of if we just plan it, if it's a big event, or we're going to go solicit gifts, and we just promote it enough, it will happen and people will come. Things to me rarely happen organically. You know, if you look at any of the organizations, whether it's you know, healthcare, higher education, any other not-for-profits that are really successful in their fundraising, all of them have specific strategies, plans, and they implement them, and they are in front of people talking to them about that. So I would not plan. I've done this the wrong way, and it was embarrassing, and it was a huge mistake. Just planning having a big gala gathering, for example, a big gala ball, and hiring some well-known talent and then just saying, oh, we'll just put this out, everybody will show up. Doesn't work that way. You need to have up front, you need to be talking to your best donors about supporting this top level, and by the time your invitation hits, there needs to be several of the top sponsorships already sold and names of those donors who have purchased them, because then people say, if they're going to be at that event, I'm going to be at that event. And you just can't let it happen and just say, we're going to plan it and put out a few flyers and things and everything will come together. So the same way with a campaign. You know, there's a reason why most organizations who run very successful, very large capital campaigns don't announce it to the community until they're well on their way to their goal. You know, a lot of people say, oh, that's passe, that's old school. I have not seen that. We're in the middle of a $250 million campaign. We've raised more than $190 million towards that campaign. We did not announce it to the community until we reached well over 50% of our total, and had a list of key individuals in the community who were willing to lend their names as well as making the lead gifts to our campaign. All of those things made a real difference and gave us the momentum to move it forward. Now, having said that, you do need to have the compelling case. You got to have a compelling reason for people to give, but you need all of the components. And I think that what I did, you know, I did it with the best of them. I made every mistake in the book and thought that, you know, we have such a great cause and we have such a great need that people will get that and they're going to give. And I was standing there by myself in most cases because we just didn't take the time and the discipline to make all of those steps occur and happen appropriately. And I think, and I see it time and time again, and I hear it continually still hear it today from, you know, new board members or new members getting in who, you know, really haven't had that experience, who say, oh, let's take an ad out in the paper and we'll raise millions, or let's do a really cool commercial and then people will start giving. You need to understand your audience, your market, and really know how to get them excited about this. It doesn't just happen on its own.
You know, Mark, you've given us some great insight. I really appreciate you taking time today to join us on this podcast. If you don't know Mark, Mark is not just a skilled professional, as I began, but a really good man. He's exemplified that today. So, Mark, thank you so much. Again, this has been Mark Larkin, who's been with us this morning. He is the president of the Boca Raton Regional Hospital Foundation. Mark, thank you.
Thank you, Eddie. I appreciate it. And thank you so much for your leadership and your great podcast that you do. I have always respected and admired you, and think this is just one more way that you're helping our entire industry think about critical things that relate to us and how we can do them better. And I've always appreciated that about you. You're always looking for how do we keep our industry strong and all of us learn from one another.
Well, I appreciate you. You've been a good friend for a long time. Well, thank you all for joining us. We look forward to being with you again on our podcast. Have a great day.
Thank you.